welcome back to the Divorce Solutions Podcast, everyone. I'm Jamie West from West Pro Mediation and Consulting, and Tracy Miller has the day off today. I don't think she's ever had a day off. She hasn't missed one of these, but she's got a well-earned day off, our legal expert, and she'll be back on the next episode, I'm sure. Today, we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to everybody's heart and something that I think a lot of people worry about when they're going through separation and divorce, and that is money. Money, 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 money. And sure, you've got lots of questions when you're going through separation and divorce. What's going to happen to my money? How much is getting divorced going to cost? All of those questions, many of which we've answered in various podcasts here on Divorce Solutions. And today we're going to talk with an expert about what happens to your money once you're through the process, once you've reached that process, and now you're at the stage where it's like, okay, now I've got to get on with my life and I still have to manage my money. Maybe it's even a bigger consideration than it was before, depending on what age you're at. And we've brought a wonderful expert in, a wealth management expert named Melissa McLean with IG Wealth out of London. She is amazing and knows her stuff. And Melissa, welcome to the Divorce Solutions Podcast.
Thanks so much, Jamie. Great to be here.
So what do people do? Or what's their first concern when the divorce is over and they call you up and say, what do I do now? How do I get this money working for me again? Or is it too late for it to work for me?
Yeah, great question, Jamie. So a lot of times people have some financial goals set that they're looking or they were achieving together as a collaborative couple. And now they're going through divorce or have been through divorce, and they still have those financial goals, or at least some of them. And so they want to make sure that they can still achieve those goals. And so what I do is I work with them to do it as individuals and look at what we can do to continue to enhance their finances as a single person moving forward, and still being able to look at, you know, are those goals achievable on their own? Do we need to pivot a little bit, and what our next steps are?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you get involved, you get involved once the couple have reached a separation agreement or a mediated agreement, a separation agreement, whatever. That's where you come in, or do you consult people during the process itself?
Yeah, I certainly consult people during the process as well, too, because a lot of times they have an advisor that maybe they're working with together, and they've decided that that's no longer the best solution. They want one party wants their own advisor to be able to, you know, advise them accordingly just on their finances, and they don't want any kind of crossover between the two of them. So I will get involved in whatever stage that they're at and making sure that their financial needs are the utmost important, and we're looking for solutions and strategies to build upon the wealth that they're going to continue to have and make sure that we're establishing maybe even new goals that they have.
Okay, and what are people mostly concerned about when they're coming either through the process or right after the process when they talk to you? What are their number one concerns?
I think that there's two concerns, and depends on where they are in life, right? So kids' education is always a big one, and then also retirement and what that retirement looks like now.
You know, we hear a lot about you need this amount of money, that amount of money, to retire. Is there sort of a target range of money that people, quote, need to retire?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, right? Because everybody's retirement lifestyle, it looks different, right? Some people have a very lavish lifestyle plan for themselves where a lot of travel is involved. And as we know, travel's only getting more and more expensive. And then other people are happy to, you know, just do staycations or travel in their vehicle and do volunteering. So it's really a mix of what people want to do during their retirements that is going to determine what type of cash flow that they're going to need at that period of time. Regardless, is saving, because we're not going to be able to survive just off of government benefits, right? And so having a really strong savings plan in place is the key for sure.
I wonder if a lot of people, I was reading an article recently that suggests that a lot of people are foregoing retirement simply because they don't want to retire, meaning they like getting up every day and going to something or doing something, even if they change sort of, even if maybe they retire from their career that they've had for 15 or 20 years into something else, people aren't anxious to sit in a rocking chair anymore, it seems like. Are you noticing that when you're helping people to manage their wealth?
Yeah, to a certain degree. And I think that jobs have changed as well, too. Like, look at how many jobs have now taken on a role that they can work out of their home, right? So there's not the same kind of structure that's around working per se that people have. And so therefore, they feel that they can take that on a little bit longer, depending on what type of role that they're in, right? So, and I find that people are, you know, they might retire from their full-time job and then take something less on, mm-hmm. even though they've planned to retire. They might get a contract and be enticed to do that for a little bit longer throughout some of the years of their planned retirement years.
Does retaining a part-time job or any kind of a job after retirement age, does that affect people's government retirement benefits in any way?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jamie. And that's one area that I really look at is, you know what, when you do decide to retire, it's taking all those pieces that you have. So whether that is, you know, your retirement savings, CPP, old age security, et cetera, and where do you pull those pieces from to be tax efficient? And then if you add some employment on there, depending upon your age, it can start to be really tricky. And so that's something that you really want to make sure that you're talking to your financial planner about is, you know, how do we do this to still make sure that it works and is beneficial for you while still maintaining some good savings and some tax minimization?
Why do you think a fair number of people are still reticent to involve a financial planner, an advisor on their money matters? What is it about money that makes us so uncomfortable?
Well, I think that, you know, as the generations come up, savings hasn't been as much of a discipline as it once was, right? And having more disposable income and spending more disposable income is certainly something that we can, you know, see is quite common. Yeah. And so therefore, I think the savings component isn't there. And so then therefore, there's some anxiety around finances, around retirement planning, all of those things, because the discipline just isn't as much there as what it used to be.
Well,
for sure.
And I don't know, as we talk enough about money and money management, personal finance, as much as maybe we should at a earlier stage in life. You know, I've often spoken to people who've said we should be teaching financial intelligence early on, meaning in school, elementary school, right on up. You mentioned it a minute ago. You know, the idea of saving is not really, in the forefront of a lot of people's minds in a couple of generations. And that's maybe a little concerning.
It is very concerning. And that's why I try and teach and go into the schools local to myself to try and teach, you know, the 50-30-20 rule, where it's, you know, 50% is saved or set aside, that would be all of your day-to-day household expenses, right? 30% is for saving, and then your 20% is for spending. And really setting that mindset up in the teenagers so that they have that working knowledge going forward, because there isn't a lot in the schools that is part of the curriculum. And so therefore, I've had to go in and try and talk to individual schools to get in to try and talk at least a few lessons about this.
Sure. What's the first piece of advice that you would give to somebody who has just come through a separation, divorce, and they're just, you know, they've got money that was tied to the settlement, the divorce separation agreement. Maybe they're getting some spousal support. You know, what's the first thing that you advise them to do?
Yeah, definitely talk to a trusted financial planner or advisor. And the biggest reason why that is because there's no emotional attachment to that money. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they can guide you as to what is the best place for those funds, short and long term. It's really tough during those times, especially if you're just going through that transition, it's tough to make any big decisions. So at least setting those funds aside so that they are safe, they are, you know, put aside for goals that may be determined later is probably the biggest advantage that you can make. Aside from that is really talking about, you know, once you've moved on, the divorce is settled, there's been some time, some of the emotion is taken right out of it, is reestablishing those financial goals and what they are for you as an individual. I think that that's the next best plan of attack to make so that you can get back on track relatively quickly and start feeling good about your finances.
Yeah, people worry, Melissa, that you know, maybe they're of a certain vintage, you know, they're more than maybe midway through their lives, and they think, well, you know what, I'm not going to do anything with this cash. I'll just keep it sort of under the mattress because it's too late for me to do anything with it where there'll be any return. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, so even if you're in, let's just say you're in your 50s or your 60s, you're, you know, depending upon your legacy and your family history, you probably still have, you know, 30 to 40 years that you're going to require those funds for, right?
Right, we're living longer. Flow. Yeah.
That's correct. So, you know, putting it as setting it aside and investing it in something that you're comfortable in. So risk tolerance is a big one that I talk about with clients to make sure that A, they're not losing sleep at night, and B, they're comfortable with the amount of risk that they're taking for the longer term. And that's something that I am a big component of, and making sure that those investments are aligned with the risk tolerance and their goals that they have established. And so, you know, I don't feel as though, you know, even though it's later on in life, that you shouldn't just, you know, putting it under the mattress, it's earning zero, right? Even if you know, even cash accounts the last few years have had a decent return. So there are lots of alternatives and lots of strategies and solutions to consider, and definitely talk to a professional about those options.
Well, I'll tell you, you've left us all feeling a little bit better about the situation today. And I appreciate you coming on and giving us the information. I just want to remind our audience that this podcast is for information purposes only. This is not intended to provide you with legal, accounting, counseling, or therapeutic advice. Every case is different, and you need to get your advice from your own lawyer, accountant, and therapist, and financial advisor. And if you don't have one, maybe Melissa can help you. You know the particular facts of your situation, so keep that in mind. And with that in mind, how do people get a hold of you, Melissa?
Yeah, people are more than welcome to reach out to me directly on my cell phone at 226-888-0875 or via email at Melissa, melissa.mclean@ig.ca.
Terrific. We'll have you back again. You're bringing messages of hope to people when it comes to the money, and we definitely appreciate it. Melissa McLean, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jamie.
All right. And that's it. That's it for another edition of the podcast. I can't believe it. It so feels so weird to not have Tracy Miller here, but she'll be back on the next one. In the meantime, you can get a hold of me, Jay West, at westpromediation.com. That's the letter J, Jay West, at westpromediation.com. And visit the website and always consider alternative dispute resolution. Until next time, we'll catch you then.